As you know, our emphasis for 2024 has been discipleship, that of being a disciple. We want to be good disciples, followers of Jesus, but then we also want to then pass that on to others and make disciples. In Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20, we're told to go and make disciples. That's what we need to be about as a church and ministry, and it's exciting to see how God is using FBC, how God is using you to make disciples. 2 weeks ago, we saw three individuals get baptized and added to the church. Another individual joined the church that had been baptized years ago. And then since then, listen to this, we've had four other individuals surrender to the Lord in salvation. Amen? It's exciting, I tell you. And this is a work of God. This is God working through you as an instrument in God's hands. These individuals are saying things like, you know, when we come here to FBC, there's something different. There's joy, there's peace, there's unity, and that is attractive. And what a blessing to see how God is using you to reach into people's lives and see them coming to the Lord Jesus, to see losers turned into victors, right? We're all losers, but we find victory in and through Jesus Christ. And for the past couple of months, we've been seeing discipleship through the book of Acts. See this taking place through the book of Acts in the early church. But in the weeks and the months ahead, we plan to walk through some building blocks of discipleship. Matters that are essential to being a good disciple, things that you need to know and know well. And some of these things we're going to go through, and many of you are like, well, I've heard that. You know, it's good to be reminded, and thank you, Pastor, for that. Thank you, God, for these truths. But then to encourage you to take those and pass them on to others so that we see others growing in these same matters as well, so that we make disciples. And so our take-home thought today is to cultivate a love for God's Word. Cultivate a love for God's Word. We're going to look at no less than 30 passages of Scripture today. So if you have YouVersion, they're all looked up for you. If you don't have YouVersion, it's going to be kind of like a Bible drill, all right? And you can write the verses down, look them up later, or try to keep up. But we're going to... I did this purposefully because I want you to see the fullness of the Word of God and how important it is to us. And I point out Psalm 138, verse 2. The psalmist says, I bow down toward your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and your faithfulness. That word there bears the idea of truth, for your steadfast love and your truth, for you have exalted above all things your name and your word. His name, even his word. His word is essential to God's revelation of himself. His word reveals his essence, his being. A love for God's word is essential to knowing and loving God. His word, the Bible, is God's revelation of himself. And so a love for God's word is essential for growing discipleship. Now I use the word in the take-home thought, cultivate, because it gives the idea of growing. I don't know that any of us have arrived at loving the word of God the way we should. Now, many of you have been saved for years, and you have grown, and you love God's Word. You look forward to time in the Word of God. But let's pass that on to others, that same love for the Word of God, so that we all look forward to reading, studying, listening to, meditating upon, memorizing, and applying the Word of God to our lives. 1 Peter 2. Verse 2 says, like newborn babies, like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk that by it you may grow up into salvation. We tend to use this for new believers, but it uses the word like, so that it applies to all of us. As if we were desiring the milk of the word like a newborn baby desires his or her mother's milk, right? And to crave that and desire that for us. So this goes for all believers, new as well as seasoned believers. And hopefully, as a result of our time together, just even today, that you will grow and be strengthened in your desire for the very words of God. That's what the Bible is. These are the words of God. If he were to stand here this morning and speak to you and me, this is what he was said because he has said it, right? These are his words. God is speaking to you and me today through his word or his words. And it's my prayer that we might say with Job in Job 23, verse 12, I have not departed from the commandments of his lips. You think about all that Job went through and all that he lost and the struggles that he had with the boils on his skins. I have not departed from the commandments of God. Can you say that in whatever it is you're going through? That you have not departed from the commandments of his lips? Listen, he says, I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Do you so love the word of God that you're willing to give up a meal for time with the word in the word? That's the kind of love what we're talking about here today. Psalm 119. And if you're not scrolling with us, you're using your Bible there. You can camp out in Psalm 119 and Psalm 19 just to give you a little clue because we're going to look at several passages here. In Psalm 119. Verses 47 and 48 says, I find my delight in your commandments. The word delight there is to amuse yourself. Now, as I got to thinking about this, I mean, there's a lot of things we do to amuse ourselves. I think back to a yo-yo, you know, just I used to take a butterfly yo-yo, a Dunkin' butterfly yo-yo, you know, and I tried all kinds of, you know, and make it sleep and everything. I amused myself with a yo-yo, but I think even better, I got to thinking about that maybe it's more like a Rubik's Cube, you know? Where you gotta figure it out, and man, you spend time, and some I don't know how they do it, but some kids they do it in 12 seconds, you know. But you think about the Word of God that you're thinking it through, and you're consumed by it. He says, "I delight, I amuse myself in your commandments, which I love. I will lift my hands toward your commandments, which I love, and I will meditate upon your statutes." The word meditate there is to talk to yourself and about the truths from the word, to think it through. Oh, let's see, what God's saying? And thinking through what God has to say and then how it might apply to your life. Verse 97, Psalm 119. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Same word, meditation. Think about it. Talk to yourself about the word of God. How does what God says here apply to my life? Verse 113, Psalm 119. I hate the double-minded, but I love your law. 167, Psalm 119, 167. My soul keeps your testimonies. I love them exceedingly. Do you love God's word? Do you love God's word with that kind of love? If you do, you're going to look forward to spending time with God and his word. You're going to read it. You're going to look forward to that time when you read it and you study it. And I know that with the difficulty of schedules, you might not be able to spend an hour or two studying it absolutely every day. But man, set aside a free morning every week. Maybe it's your Saturday morning. You get up early before anybody else and you sit down and I'm going to study through the book of Job. That's what I'm doing. I'm going through the book of Job because there's some things in the book of Job that just make me scratch my head. So I'm spending time in the book of Job. Just what are these guys saying to Job? And sometimes they say some pretty good things, and yet Job was a bit taken aback by some of the things that they said. So I'm wrestling through that. And so you read it, you study it, you listen to it. Sometimes it might be good to just turn the radio off and turn on your phone app while you're driving and listen to the Word of God. One of our men, while he was working, I walked in and listening to the Bible app, listening to the Word of God. So you can read, study, listen to, memorize, meditate upon, and apply the Word of God. Why? Well, let's look at some reasons. Here's some good reasons to cultivate a love for the Word of God. Now, I'm going to point out one, but then there's some others that support this, all right? So the first one is, it's of great value. Why grow in your love for the Word of God? It's of great value. Psalm 119, 127, therefore I love your commandments above gold, above fine gold. Back to Psalm 19 in verse 10. Many of you know this. Speaking of the Word of God, more to be desired are they, the words of God, the Word of God. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and drippings from the honeycomb. You know, it amazes me, and Brett, you touched on this in class a little bit this morning. It amazes me how we were talking about how soon we forget who won the World Series 10 years ago. But you know what? There are some guys that remember that, right? There are guys who remember scores and statistics from 10 years ago and maybe even longer ago than that, and who the players are and on what teams they're playing on and where they were traded and who traded them, and it's just amazing. Some of you guys might be like that, or gals. Maybe somebody out there is a movie aficionado, right? I mean, you can look at certain movies and so-and-so played so-and-so, and you list all the characters and who played those particular characters, and beyond that, the trivia about that. You don't have to raise your hand, but some of you are Star Wars fans, you know all about all of the episodes, right? Whatever it is. And we could go into all kinds of different hobbies around the room here. What's your hobby? And you can tell us all about it. Eric Sullenberger gave a presentation on the eclipse just a couple weeks ago. And man, I tell you what, he was talking about, the constellations, and it was fascinating. And all of that's good. I'm not going to take that away from anyone, all right? But how exciting it would be to know the Word of God like that. How is it that people can talk about their interests and hobbies like they do? Well, because it's an interest. And they love it. They pour themselves into it. And they can talk about it. I just want to encourage you to think, wouldn't it be exciting to do that with the Word of God? Because, why? Because it's of great value. 100 years from now, all this other stuff isn't going to mean a hill of beans, right? Who won the World Series 100 years ago? Who won the World Series last year? 100 years from now, it's not going to matter. But the Word of God is valuable. It's greater. It's of more value than much fine gold. My encouragement to you today is to foster that kind of interest in the Word of God, the Bible, because of it, it's of far greater value. Another passage, Psalm 119, 98, 99. Your commandments make me wiser than my enemies, for it is ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. It's of value because it makes you wise. God's Word makes you wise. Psalm 19 and verse 7, the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The simple one here is foolish or silly. You know, someone can be foolish, they could be silly and everything, but then when you get into the Word of God, it makes you wise. And the Word of God not only provides knowledge, but wisdom. Wisdom is the ability to take what you know and apply it to life, put it into practice. It's the difference between knowing that something is right and wrong. You can go to the Bible and you can find out things that are right and wrong. But wisdom is the ability to change in light of what you're told there to bring glory to God. That's the difference. There's the wisdom of the Word isn't just knowing facts about the Word. And I think it's good for us to have Bible drills, for us to have Bible quizzes and those kinds of activities for our teens, our youth, our children. But let's not forget that it's not just knowing the Word, but it's doing the Word. It's putting it into practice. How then do we live this out, right? And that's the wisdom. The Word of God provides wisdom. It makes you wise. Verse 8, Psalm 19, the commandment of the Lord is pure, it's faithful, it's true, enlightening the eyes. When I go hunting, oftentimes I go out in the morning, whether it's deer hunting or turkey season's coming up here pretty soon. You get out there and you find out where you're going to sit and you get all situated and it's dark and you know, it starts getting a little light and you're like, what is that? What is that? Could it? And then it gets a little lighter and gets a little lighter. It's just a stump, you know. I almost shot a stump, you know. Why? Because my eyes became enlightened to the truth of the matter. So God's Word is like that. It provides spiritual insight. Have you ever gone to the Scriptures and you've been reading? And you're like, I read that passage 100 times before, and all of a sudden, I never saw that before. It's like, how amazing is that? Scripture says in 1 Corinthians 2 that these things are spiritually discerned. God's Word is like that. You go to His Word and spiritual truths unfold before you. In some places, specifically Ephesians, God calls it some things a mystery. And He says there was a mystery that He made known to you. And specifically in Ephesians, the mystery was that the Jews and the Gentiles, individuals who were diametrically opposed in so many ways, were to come together in unity to be the church. And you think about how different we are. I mean, you know, just think of the styles of music that we sang this morning. You know, what was that first song? A Mighty Fortress? A Mighty Fortress? Oh, mighty. Dennis was over here, you know, playing the organ, and it's just, and then the choir gets up, you know, had a little bit of, I don't know if it was country western or, you know, southern gospel, right? Whatever it was, you know, but look at the variety that we had there. And how is it that we can all come together and we can be unified? Right? What a blessing. What a blessing that is. But that's what we have. That's what we have. The mystery of the church. That all people from all different kinds of backgrounds, all different kinds of ethnic. It would be great to have other ethnicities here. We actually have a few here. But it would be great to see more, because that's the idea behind the church, to be unified even though there may be differences. You know, when you talk about insight, spiritual insight, it's exciting when you see someone come to salvation and they begin to understand the Word of God. Just last week, I'm talking about spiritual insight. Just last week we had someone after the service had come to Jesus. They got saved. Two or three people come to the Lord just last week. And last Sunday after the service, they had gotten saved like 10 minutes before this conversation. This individual had a conversation with Pastor Nate. And Pastor Nate was rejoicing, you know, high fives or whatever. And they said, yeah, it's exciting and everything. And he said, but Pastor Nate, I got a question for you. In the Old Testament, there's all of these sacrifices in the Old Testament. And then you have the sacrifice of Jesus. Are they connected? Pastor Nate says, yep. And Pastor Nate explained a little bit, and he said, oh, so with all of those sacrifices, then Jesus being sacrificed, he fulfilled it all, right? Isn't that exciting? The guy just got saved 10 minutes earlier, and here he's already rightly interpreting Scripture. How is that? It's the wisdom that God uses by his Holy Spirit helping that individual understand the Word of God, connecting the dots. That's a work of God. That's the Spirit of God working through the Word of God. Psalm 119, 159. Consider how I love your precepts. Give me life according to your steadfast love. Another good reason to cultivate a love for the Word of God is because it gives life. Psalm 19, verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect. It's without blemish. It is complete. It is so complete. The law of the Lord is perfect, so complete, it revives the soul. It brings to life the dead soul. Faith comes by hearing, hearing through the Word of God. It's through the Word of God that God quickens, brings to life our dead souls. We're all dead in our sin. And the Bible tells us how we can find life and eternal life through Jesus. Psalm 19, verse 9, the fear of the Lord is clean, it's pure, it is enduring, it continues forever. So another good reason is because it's pure, it's lasting. And though the Bible records sinful matters, it doesn't promote or perpetuate sinfulness. It is pure. Verse 165. Great peace have those who love your law. Nothing can make them stumble. Nothing can cause you to be offended. Why? Because you know the truth. You know the truth of the Word of God. So it provides stability. There's spiritual, emotional, intellectual stability that's had as a result of being in the Word. Psalm 19, verse 8, the precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. So many people have found peace as a result of coming to Jesus, getting into his Word, and learning what God has for them. I just remember Sally Strebig and I, several years ago, were counseling an individual, and this individual came in, and we sat down, and the first two sessions, the individual could hardly talk for crying. I mean, they were just so full of anxiety and fears, and just sharing their heart and telling us their story. They just couldn't hardly talk for crying. And we began to patiently work through biblical truths and principles and the Word of God and apply how it applies to this individual's life. And in 10 sessions, just 8 sessions later, in 10 sessions, this individual graduated from counseling. I'm like, wow. I said, what made the difference? What helped you? And this individual simply said, pleasing God. bringing glory to God, realizing that life was not all about me. It's about bringing glory to God. This individual said, I was so focused on self throughout my whole life that I took my eyes off of God. And I was filled with anxiety. But when I learned that my purpose in life is to bring glory to God, changed her life. 2 years later, I saw this individual. And I said, hey, how's it going? She said, bringing glory to God. It's amazing how God's worked in my life. And to God be the glory. Why? How did that come about? Because of the Word of God. Finding these truths in the Word of God. You talk about the stability. This individual was just, for years and years, struggled with all of this. And yet, in taking the Word of God and applying the Word of God to her life, she found stability. That's a good reason to love the Word of God. Verse 163 of Psalm 119. I hate and abhor falsehood, but I love your law. We need to spend a few minutes on this because another good reason is because it's truth. It is truth. Psalm 19 and verse 9 says, the rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Righteous altogether. The idea there is that it's a unit. The words of God provide a unit of thinking. They're not contradictory. They work together to give us direction. You don't have some parts that are questionable. I had a banana the other day. And I like bananas. I like them on cereal. I like to just peel them and eat. And I thought, this banana, they're only good for about 45 minutes. Okay? And you got to get them just right. And this was like, you know, it's time, you know, peel the banana. And just, it's so good. And I'm peeling. I get down to the last 2 inches and I peeled down there and it was like, I'm like, oh, it was all soupy and goopy. And it's like, you know, I just threw it away. Some part was good, some part was really bad. Listen, you're not going to find that in the Word of God. It is altogether righteous, altogether good. 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 9 and 10, it says, the coming of the lawless one is by the activity of Satan, which all power and false signs and with all power, false signs and wonders, and with all wicked deception for those who are perishing. But they refused to love the truth and so be saved. Satan is full, the enemy is full of deceptions to lure you, to lure others away from the love of God's truth. It's so important that you look at the Word of God as His truth. My friend, what you have there in your lap, if you're holding the Word of God, is the truth from God. John 17, 17, Jesus is praying for you and me. He says, sanctify them, make them holy in the truth. Your word is truth. 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 28, God had told David that he wasn't going to build a house for the Lord. Sorry, David, too much war in your family, too much blood and everything. I'm going to have your son do that. David was really wanting to do this. He was really, God, I want to build this house for you. And God said, no, I'm going to have your son do that. And here's what David said in verse 28. And now, O Lord God, you are God, and your words are true. He didn't hear what he wanted to hear from God, but he acknowledged, your words are true, and you have promised this good thing to your servant. 2 Timothy 2, verse 15. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. And that's why it's so important to take some time, not to just to read, but also to study the word so that you learn to understand and apply the word to your life so that you're handling it correctly. Because it's truth. I think a big question before us here today is, how do you know what is true or what is truth? Jesus was questioned by Pilate, and he was explaining to Pilate in John chapter 18, verse 37, "For this purpose I was born." Jesus was heading to the cross. "For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." And Pilate says, "What is truth?" It's a question that many of us have. We should be asking that question. What is truth? And the world is asking, what is truth? And we ought to say, it's right here in the Word of God through Jesus Christ. Some think truth is determined by experience, empiricism it's called. We learn truth by experience, by me or by someone else's experience, by authority. I tell you, many of our young folks are going off to secular universities, and they're listening to professors who are leading them astray, and they're believing what those false teachers say, because they're an authority. And because the authority, that professor said that, then it must be true. And so I'm going to listen and follow. And sometimes they just reject what they've learned through Sunday school and church and the Bible, because this person seems so authoritative. That authority, that's another, some people look at that as a source of truth. Some rationality. If it's reasonable and I can think it through, then it must be true. Another one is the whole idea of intuition or emotions. And this is the one we're fighting today. This is what we're up against. And that is, if I identify as this, then it is true, I am this. And you can't deny me my truth. And there are people in our culture who are identifying as something that they are not. How do we know that they are not? Because of the truth of the Word of God. This is what God says. And that's why it's important for us to know, what does God say about these things? And as a result, we have our culture saying, it's okay. Oh, it's okay. You can believe what you want about that. And we can't argue with them. We can't put up any roadblock against that, or else we're not loving. Listen, my friend, the best thing we can do is tell you the truth. Amen. And we find that truth in the Word of God. He tells us his word is truth. We need to understand that everybody starts with an unprovable presupposition. Or as my philosophy professor said, an indemonstrable starting point. We all start with something we can't prove. For many, it's time and chance. You say, where did all of this come from? Billions and billions and billions of years ago, things started to develop because of something that happened, Big Bang. And then through time and chance, over time, billions and billions of years, here we have it. as Christians, our unprovable presupposition, our indemonstrable starting point, is right at the very beginning of the Word of God. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning, God. There it is. The question is, are you going to believe that? And all that God's word says about who he is and how what he did and how he works? Or are you going to place your faith in billions and billions of years ago by time and chance? It's faith. It takes faith. Where does faith come from? When you look at the Word of God, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I submit, my friend, that it's found in the Word of God. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. God has revealed himself. He wants you to know him. And because this God who created heaven and earth wants you to know him, he has revealed himself, and he's done that graciously through his word, as well as through his living word, the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, he has revealed himself through creation as well. That's called general revelation. That you can look at, you can look at the eclipse and realize, you know what, there's something, there's somebody out there that planned this. I mean, they've got it down to the minutes and seconds as to when it's going to be passing over us. Why? Because God is a God of order. That tells us something about God. So that's general revelation. But he has revealed himself through his living word, the Lord Jesus, but also his written word that tells us about the Lord Jesus and the salvation that you can have through him. It's truth. And if God's word is truth, then we must base all that we believe on the truths of his word. So when God says that we're sinners in need of a Savior, and that Savior is Jesus who died on the cross, was buried, and he rose again, it's in our best interest to believe, to surrender, to repent, surrender to him, and be saved. And you can, we can sit here and we can argue, discuss, talk about. It just sounds so simple. I'm here to tell you. It sounds simple to us, but it was very, very complex. But God figured it out. And he boiled it down just for you and me. So that we can have that salvation through Jesus Christ. I mean, amen. I mean, praise God that we can surrender to him in his great salvation because we have the truth. So may we all grow in our love for God's word because it is the truth. Now, here's some suggestions. How do you do that? I meant to have these, some blanks here, but the blanks are already filled in for you. First of all, become immersed in it. Again, I mentioned Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, hearing through the word of Christ. Read, study, listen to, memorize, meditate upon, apply his word to your life. Just, it would be foolish to say, I'm going to do that this week. I've never done it before, but I'm going to do it every day. My encouragement is to say, okay, start with 2 days, okay? Just, you're going to spend time in the word 2 days. I think we should be in it every day, all right? Right? But cultivate this desire. So if you do it 2 days, you might say, well, man, that was really interesting. I'm going to do it again. And lo and behold, you got 3 days in instead of two, right? But immerse yourself in the Word of God. Spend time with God. And then obey it. 1 John chapter 5, verses 3 to 5. For this is love for God if we keep his commandments, or that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? It's not always easy to obey the Word of God. to do what he commands. But when you do, there's blessing. John 13, 17. Mark that verse down. John 13, 17. Now that you know these things, happy are you if you do them. Some of your versions say blessed. King James has this one right. It's the Greek word means happy. The feelings follow the doing of what you know. I wanted to spend more time on that. But so many people are looking for the feelings. The feelings follow. The peace follows. The happiness follows doing what you know is right. Obey it. And then rely on it. Go to it when you're in need. Psalm 119, 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. It's like a flashlight strapped to your shoes. You know, it just shows you where you're going for the next step. You don't know what to do? Go to the Word of God. You have some decisions that you make, making right choices? Go to the Word of God. Find principles that God has set forth to help you make that decision. You need to know how to live to the glory of God? Go to the Bible. It tells you how to do that, how to bring glory to God. You want to know how to deal with the challenges and difficulties of life? Study the Bible. Whenever you need help, let the Bible be your first resort, not your last resort. Rely upon it. Believe it. Believe that it is indispensable to you. I titled this message, Indispensable Truth. You can't live without it. My prayer is that you'll cultivate a love for God's word to where you're like, I gotta have it. It's like Cold Stone, you know, like it, love it, and then the gotta have it size, you know. It's like, I gotta have it, right? Rely upon it. Believe it. It's indispensable to you and to others. That's why our mission statement says to show Jesus as indispensable to the community. He's indispensable. A man asked Jesus to heal his son who was demon-possessed. And the man said, if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said to him, if you can. All things are possible for the one who believes. Immediately, the father of the child cried out and said, I believe, help my unbelief. Maybe you're at that point. You just can't fully grasp all that is being said here today. But you're at the point of, I believe, help my unbelief. Some say, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. I think it's better. God says it, that settles it. I believe it. And so since the Bible is a standard, is true and a standard, our standard for truth, approach the Bible with a spirit of belief. Now I think there are some skeptics who go to the Bible and they find out it is true. But as a believer, go to the Bible with a spirit of belief. I believe this. It may be hard. I don't understand it yet. I want to grow in my understanding of it. But I believe it. And then finally, live it. Live it. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who seek Him. By faith, you learn what God says, and then you do it. I wanted to spend more time on this morning too, but in Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 to 27, it says there were two individuals. There was the wise man and the foolish man. The wise man, he built his house upon a rock. Another passage says he dug down deep. The foolish man built his house on the sand. And the storms came, the wind blew. The wise man's house stood, the foolish man's house was wiped out. What was the difference? It was a foundation. What was that foundation? Jesus says, he who hears these words of mine and does them is like the wise man who built his house on the rock. The foolish man hears these words of mine as well, but does not do them. Big difference. That's where the wisdom comes in, right? It's hearing the word and putting it into practice. Live it. Live it. Do what it says. The Bible is essential. It is indispensable to growing in this matter of discipleship. Someone put it this way. The Bible is, B-I-B-L-E, basic instructions before leaving earth. Pretty good. Find out what God says. Learn it. Love it. Live it out to the honor and glory of God with his help and his enablement through the Spirit of God. And when you do that, you're going to grow in your love for God. You're going to grow as one of his followers, as a disciple, and then be willing to pass that on to others. Let's ask for God's help to do just that. Heavenly Father, we need you. We are so deficient. But you've given us basic instructions before leaving earth. You've given us direction through your word. And I pray, Father, that we would not dismiss it, but that we would look at this as truth and that we would grow in our love for your word. Father, I thank you for the many here who have testimonies of salvation and a desire to be faithful as one of your children and walk in faithfulness. But may we all, as a result of our time together today, gathered around your word, may we all just grow, have even this morning have grown in our love for your word, seeing the value of your word, and to take these suggestions to heart. To see you do a work in our hearts and lives that, like we've never seen it before, because of the power of your Spirit working through your word. And if there's